Tonight we return to the series that we have on the fruit of the Spirit, and we look at the peace that is an aspect of the fruit of the Spirit. In connection with that, we're going to read tonight out of John chapter 14. John 14, chapter. This is the Word of God. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which he hears not in mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And now notice this verse especially. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Thus far we read God's word. Our text tonight is found in Galatians 5, As we continue looking at the fruit of the Spirit that is set before us there in verses 22 and 23. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Read there, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Tonight we focus on that peace. Let's pray. Father in heaven, through the very preaching of the gospel tonight, may our Savior, through the Holy Spirit, work peace in us, so that our hearts and our souls are still and quiet and wait patiently upon Thee. O God, fill us with this peace. We pray this in the name of the Prince of Peace. Amen. In the world in which we live today, we don't find much peace. We find the exact opposite of peace. We find restless hearts. Where do we see such restless hearts in our day? Well, there's a couple of ways in which we see it. First of all, we see it in all of the anger that is found in the world. You pay attention to news at all, you hear reports of angry passengers on flights that are kicked off of flights, or you read about angry flight attendants who are trying to care for angry passengers. You see angry people on the road. You find angry people in stores. Maybe some of you see angry clients or customers. If you're on social media, you find people venting and posting with all kinds of anger and judgmentalism as well. There's anger all around us. And why are there so many people who are angry? It's because we live in a world that does not have or know peace. So in a world in which there's all kinds of stress and uncertainty and conflict, this is the reaction of those who don't know peace. Another way in which we see restless hearts in the world is through the skyrocketing of anxiety and depression in our world today. There are many who fear the future, they fear the unexpected, and they live in that fear and anxiety and depression. But beloved, let us understand that it's not just that we find these things out in the world, we do find these things in the church as well. There's anger in the church. We know division in the church as well. And we know as well that just because we're Christians, that doesn't mean that we don't face anxiety or depression in our own lives. There are different degrees of it. For some, it's debilitating. For others, maybe it's small or minor. Yet all of this is very real within the church as well. But one of the ways in which we show that we are different as the people of God in whom the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ resides, one of the ways in which we show that we are different is learning to let the peace of God rule in our hearts and in our minds. We live in the peace that is ours through our Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, we want to understand that peace. We want to understand this gift that God gives to us. We also want to understand what it means to live in peace with God and what it means to live in peace with each other, what it means to live a peaceful life of resting in God. There's hope for us. There is. Because tonight, we're reminded of the fact that peace is an aspect of the fruit of the Spirit, or we could say a slice of the fruit of the Spirit. Remember when we talked about the fruit of the Spirit, we mentioned that it's like a sweet fruit, like summer fruit, or like the oranges that you get in the springtime. But an orange, of course, and kids know that too, has many different slices. And so the fruit of the Spirit is one, it is love, but that love has many different aspects or slices. One of them is joy, which we recently looked at. Another is peace that we look at tonight, and the rest are found in the words that are found in Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. But we see tonight that a vital aspect of love is peace. So we focus our attention on that peace that Christ gives to us. And that's our theme tonight, the peace Christ gives us. Notice first the source of this peace. Secondly, the display of it, how it is lived out in our lives. And finally, the great blessing of this peace. We want to understand what true peace is tonight. And hopefully we all, by the end of the sermon, can explain it. We can speak to ourselves what that peace is. Part of peace is that it's calm in a storm. And part of peace is that it's the absence of fighting and unrest. But let's see and understand as we begin tonight looking at peace, that peace is more than that. Peace is a rich, heavenly, theological concept. It's a theological concept because peace begins with God. God is a God of peace, and God is the source of all peace. In other words, peace is found in God, and peace comes from God. We see and understand tonight, then, that peace is not found in the world in which we live. Or in other words, the source of peace cannot be found in this world. In contrast to the God of peace, we do live in a world where there's much unrest and fighting and anger, as we've described in the introduction to the sermon. There is that in the world because, as we read in Isaiah 48, verse 22, there is no peace for the wicked. So the source of peace cannot be found in man. The source of peace cannot be found in this world, and the world can never achieve this peace on their own. That doesn't mean the world doesn't want peace. They want peace, but they want peace on their own terms. And when you try to find peace on your own terms, the result is fury and envy and discord and fear, which is exactly what we see in the world around us. And all of that fury and envy and discord and fear does not have its source in God, but it has its source in the devil, the evil one. And he plants the seeds of these things. And in the world, there is fertile soil for these seeds that are planted and grow and develop in the world around us. But the scriptures make very clear that those who pursue these things, those who pursue wickedness and evil, those who pursue anger and envy and discord and all the rest, they will not see the kingdom of God. They're at enmity with God. They're outside of the kingdom of God. And what that all tells us is that peace does not originate in this world. Peace does not originate in man. You will not find peace in this world. But peace originates in God. Remember, we're looking at the source of peace. Peace originates in God. Because the scriptures tell us that God is the God of peace. Philippians 4 verse 9 says that he's the God of peace. We also read in Romans 15 verse 33, now the God of peace be with you all. Our God is a God of peace. When we say that, what do we mean exactly? Well, remember that peace is an aspect of love. And we have seen, as we've looked at the fruit of the Spirit, that love, of course, originates in God. And it originates in the triune God. He's a God who lives in perfect love, as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That means, then, that this God of love also lives in perfect peace, as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's perfect peace between the three persons of the Holy Trinity, never fighting, never unrest, never discord, but always perfect peace. And there's no one who can penetrate that peace of God. There's no one who can destroy that peace of God. There's no one who can undermine this peace of God. It is full and complete in God Himself. And that's why we see and understand tonight that this God of peace is the source of peace. He's the only true source of peace. And beloved, we need this. We need this because in our sin, we are separated from God. There's this huge chasm between God and us, this huge gorge between God and us. It's the reality of our sin that separates us from the holy God. But the Scriptures teach us in Romans 5, verse 1, that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God is the one who gives us peace with Himself. We are alienated from Him in our sin. But God, He is able to overthrow all of the darkness and destruction of sin and create this perfect peace. God says in Isaiah 45, verse 7, I make peace. Not only does God give it to us, but He makes this peace, which is peace in our relationship with Him. And that's what you and I desperately need. When we think of peace, we should think, first of all, about a relationship with God. We need peace with Him. Because if we don't have peace with Him, we're the objects of His wrath. Those who are not at peace with Him will be in hell forever. But peace describes the beauty of our relationship with our God. What we know is covenant. What we know is fellowship and love. We are given peace with God through the satisfaction of God's wrath by His Son, Jesus Christ. So we notice, first of all, that the source of true peace is God Himself. But now that leads us to this transition then. God gives us this peace by the work of Jesus Christ through the work of the Holy Spirit within us. That takes us then to the passage that we read tonight. And the words of Jesus in John 14, verse 27, let me read that verse again. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. What Jesus is saying to us is that He is the one who gives us peace with God. God makes this peace through the work of His Son, Jesus Christ, who is the Prince of Peace. It's not only that Jesus Christ gives us this peace. Let's see and understand tonight that He accomplishes this peace. When we heard Romans 5, verse 1, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the point. Jesus Christ is the one who accomplishes this peace. He does that by His work on the cross. He does that by reconciling us to God. That's the beauty of the cross for us. It's not simply, well, payment was made for our sins. It was. But understand the result of that. payment was made for our sins so that we can and we do have peace with God. This peace is built on something rock solid. It's not our feelings. It's not our actions. No, it's built on something higher and better than that. The finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Here's why that's so important to understand tonight. When you know that peace, it changes everything. When you know this peace, it changes everything. That's what Jesus is saying in John 14, verse 27. And he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." And he's just ready to go to the cross to accomplish this peace by his death. But then he says, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And we might wonder, what's the connection? Why does he say, just after speaking of the peace I give to you, why does he say then, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid"? And the point of our Lord Jesus Christ is, peace with God through him delivers us from all fear. The peace that is accomplished by Jesus Christ and his death on the cross eradicates all fear and unrest from our lives. That's why Jesus says what he says, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And we think of some other words that are found in the scriptures. Romans 8, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" Psalm 27, verse 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" Because we have peace with God, it delivers us from all of the fears that we go through in our lives. This peace is a peace that, when it is given, enters into every aspect of our lives so that we learn to live in peace. This peace enters into every aspect of our lives through the work of the Holy Spirit. So we started with God as the source of peace. We've seen how Jesus Christ accomplishes this peace. And now we see as well that it's the Holy Spirit who works this peace within us. That's the very idea of the fruit of the Spirit. And that's connected here in John 14 as well. What did we read just before Jesus speaking here about the peace he leaves with you, with us? Well, it's the Comforter that he would send once he ascended into heaven. The Comforter who would bring the peace and the comfort of God. It's the Holy Spirit who fills us with this peace. The Holy Spirit who resides in our hearts gives us this peace that rules our hearts. And when the Holy Spirit's there, what we do is we rest upon the foundation of the finished work of Jesus Christ, and we view life through the lens of the cross, and we view all of life through the lens of what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. We flee to him, knowing that there is pardon and peace in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's an aspect of the work of the Holy Spirit within us. So that as we go through the storms of life, whatever storm it is that you may be going through right now, whatever storm you've gone through in the past, whatever storm you will face in the future, the Holy Spirit who brings the peace of God to us and the peace of Jesus Christ to us, he's in us, he is with us, and he's bringing us that peace. Even when we can't understand it, even when we're down deep in the valley and we're feeling despair, the Holy Spirit is there working this peace in our hearts and in our lives. This peace is God's gift to us through the work of the Holy Spirit. And then we can hear the promises of God that he gives in his word. Think of Jeremiah 29, verse 11, where God says that he has thoughts of peace toward us. Then we hear what Jesus says in John 20, "Peace be to you. and we hear that blessing of God at the beginning of every worship service. Grace, mercy, and peace be granted unto you. We know this wonderful and beautiful peace with God, and it gives rest to our souls. The source of peace is in God. That tells us something very important about this peace then. Peace is not rooted in the constantly changing external circumstances of our lives. Just think about peace for a moment from the perspective maybe of a vacation that's coming up. It's the beginning of summer. And maybe some of us as families are thinking about vacation that is coming. And maybe, probably not anymore if we've been on vacation enough times, but sometimes we have this romanticized, idealistic view of what our vacation will be like. Especially when children are young. Oh, we're all going to pile in the car and everybody's going to be happy and everybody's going to be excited. And we're going to go on this long road trip or we're going to go on this camping trip and everything's going to go fine. Until it doesn't. Car's broken down on the side of the road. There's a flat tire on the trailer. There's a number of things that can go wrong. One of the children gets car sick, and so they're vomiting in the car, and we've got to stop more than we want to. And I mean, the list of things that can go wrong. And then finally you get to the place, and maybe you're at a beach, and you've got your chair in the shade, and you're reading your book, and the children are playing all nice in the water, and oh, isn't this relaxing and great, until it's not. Because the kids are fighting. And of course, the sun moves during the day, so I'm not in the shade anymore, and I've got to move my chair, and there's other things that happen, and it's not peaceful. But all of that to remind us that peace is not found in the constantly changing external circumstances of our lives. That's where the world's trying to find peace. We're trying to find it in this perfect experience, something that's better. But that's not where we find our peace. And if we're trying to find our peace in that, we'll never find it. If we're trying to find our peace in the things of this world, we will never find it. It's not going to lead to peaceful sleeping as we lay our heads down upon our pillows at night. But what does? Well, it's this peace. It's true peace. Knowing we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So that even though the vacation wasn't great, and even though maybe the summer wasn't great, and our lives aren't great all of the time, there is peace with God that never changes because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. And then think about the things that we fear. Small things, big things, things in between, maybe many small things. But in the midst of that all, there is peace that we have with God, and therefore there's nothing for us to fear. We see and understand tonight that not only is this peace the gift of God to us, this peace, when it is worked in us, is an inward reality that is displayed in our lives. It's a reality that is lived in our lives. And there are two things that we want to notice as we consider how this peace is lived out in our lives. We see and understand that peace is a restful state for our souls, knowing that we have peace with God in Christ. It's a state of rest in which we're not living in fear, even though there are troublesome things that we are facing in our lives and struggles that we face in our lives. And that's how we often use the word peace as well, isn't it? It's calm, inward tranquility, spiritually relaxed, in contrast to being full of anxiety and fear and being full of restlessness. And so this is what we want to be on display in our own lives. Not the restlessness of this world, anger and unrest and fear, but instead living in the quiet peace of knowing God in Jesus Christ. We seem to understand that this peace is to be lived. It is to be lived. And that's evident from the fact that this peace is commanded. It's commanded. Colossians 3 verse 15 says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts." So we might say, well, how does that command fit with the whole concept of peace as an aspect of the fruit of the Spirit? How do those two things fit together? Well, it does in the same way that love is a gift and also commanded, and joy is a gift and also commanded. So peace is also a gift and it is commanded. The command here is not to obtain peace. It's not do something to get this peace. It's offered to you. It's right there. You just have to take it and make it your own. That's not the idea of the command. But instead, Colossians 3, verse 15 is coming to citizens of the kingdom, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and saying, you have peace. We have this as a gift of the Holy Spirit and the gift of God, who is the source of peace. Now, live in that peace. It's a command of encouragement to live in the peace that we've been given by our Lord Jesus Christ. That tells us that Christian peace isn't just something that happens in our lives. We're to seek it in dependence on the Holy Spirit. But this also tells us that it is possible for us to fail to live in peace as we should. It is possible to fail to let peace rule in our hearts. It's possible for us to live as though Christ did not reconcile us to God by his death. It is possible for us to live as if the gospel is not true. And I'm not talking about consistently, but there can be certain aspects or sections of our lives where we're not living as if the gospel is true. We're not living in this peace of God. We're not letting the peace of God rule in our hearts. And so the very real question for us right now is, are you living in this peace of God? Is the peace of God ruling in your heart in what it is that you face? That's an important question, because there are storms and troubles in our lives. And some of those storms are rough. This peace is meant to calm our hearts in times of trouble, so that as we focus on this peace, it drives away the fears and anxieties. Again, remember, I'm not saying by that, beloved, that no one ought to be afraid of anything, that no one should be afraid if you're a Christian, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need this word of encouragement exactly because we struggle with fears, we struggle with anxieties in our lives. Children do, young people do, adults do. We struggle at times with the responsibilities and callings of our lives. We struggle as well thinking about the bad news that might come, or a surgery that one might have, or the doctor gives the diagnosis of cancer, or when death comes suddenly, or there's financial burdens, when there's family struggles, and so many other things. Those things are all very real. It's not as if we go stoically through life saying, well, whatever will happen, will happen. Now, the reality is, when we go through these things, it can be a great struggle to live in peace. And so the Word of God comes to us and says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Look to Christ, look to the cross, look to the God of peace. Look and see what you have in Him and in your relationship with Him. Live out the gospel in your life in this way. Not being restless, not being agitated, not being angry, but living in the knowledge of the peace that we have with God and resting in that. There are many examples that we can look to in Scripture to see and understand what it is to live in peace, but we know the ultimate example for our lives is our Lord Jesus Christ. We want to look to Him for a moment to understand what it is to live in peace, but we can do that even by way of contrast. I point us here to Matthew 8. When Jesus and His disciples were on the Sea of Galilee, Jesus had been teaching all day, and Jesus needed a break, and He was so exhausted, and here we see His humanity, He was so exhausted that, remember, and children, you'll remember the story too, He falls asleep in the back of this large rowboat. This was no luxury liner cruise ship. This was a large rowboat. He pulls together some of the cushions and He falls asleep in the back of the boat because He's so exhausted. And the disciples are rowing across the Sea of Galilee, and this huge storm comes up. And the disciples feared for their lives. They're rowing and they're bailing and they're rowing and they're bailing. And meanwhile, Jesus remains asleep in the back of the boat. And so finally they wake Him. And they say to Him, "Don't you care that we perish?" And then, of course, we know the rest of that story where Jesus calms the wind and the waves and the storm, and the disciples are amazed at Him. But notice contrast here. The disciples are all worked up because of the storm, because they forgot who is with them in the boat. Isn't that why we get all worked up too? We forget who is with us in the storm. But our Lord Jesus Christ, as He's sleeping and even when He awakes, He's not afraid. We never read that there in that passage. He doesn't look around Him and act and respond in a way that shows He's fearful in that storm. There's a calm that He has, a peace that He has, because we know, of course, He is God. He's the Son of God. He has the true peace within Him, and He lives that peace in that moment. And it's not just in that moment, but our Lord Jesus Christ exemplified peace in His life in whatever He went through. He stands before Pontius Pilate. He's not angry or sarcastic with Pontius Pilate, even though Pontius is going to say that He must die upon the cross. Our Lord Jesus Christ exhibited perfect peace in all the suffering that He endured in His life. Because He knew, even though there was suffering to come, He knew the end of the story and the victory that would be His and the victory for His people. And so He lived in that peace in His life, and that's the calling of the Word of God to us. Live in this peace. Now, beloved, we do that by living in the Word. We do that by living in the promises of God. We do that by keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ and keeping our eyes fixed on the God who is the God of peace and who has given us peace with Him. So that's one aspect of how we live out this peace in our lives. The calm of peace of knowing that we are the people of God. The second way that the Holy Spirit works this peace in us is that we live in peace with one another. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 11 says, "Live in peace." Romans 12 verse 18 says, "Live peaceably with all men." The Old Testament word for peace, we know it's shalom. It was often a greeting that the people of Israel would give to one another. "Peace be on you." That's the idea of that word. Peace be on you. They desired that this person that they're greeting would know peace with God, but also live in that peace. And is part of their living in peace with each other. Well, we are to live in this shalom, this peace with one another. Of course, this is a great struggle because everybody around us is a sinner. And we, in the lives of others, are sinners as well. We're sinned against. We sin against others. And because of that, there can be conflict and turmoil. There can be that in marriages. There can be that in our homes. There can be that in the church. There can be that in the workplace. There can be that on the road. It's everywhere. And we easily, and sometimes quickly, respond in anger. And sometimes we excuse it, saying, well, we've got a lot of stress, we've got a lot of pressure right now. Just because of everything going on, in a sense, I'm saying, I really can't help it. Well, we can. And it's sin. It's wrong before God. We are called to live in peace with one another. This is a word we need to hear with all of the unrest and lack of peace. Not only that we find out in the world, we're not going to change any of that. But what we see going on within the church as well. Those who live in peace are not those who pick fights, are not those who seek strife. The office bearers in the church, one of the qualifications is that they're not to be brawlers, meaning they're not to be those who are seeking fights. That's what a brawler does. We're not to be living in that way in our homes and within the church. Picking fights, making things miserable, living in conflict so that we're not living in peace with one another. Now, understand what that means. That doesn't mean we don't admonish one another. We're to admonish each other. We're to rebuke each other. As parents, we're called to do that with our children. As members of the church, we're called to do that with one another. But there is a peaceful way to do that. Now, there's also a way to do that that is not peaceful, in which we're agitating, in which we're poking, in which we're stirring up strife and conflict, not going to someone in love and not going to someone in peace and not going to seek their good, but instead seeking our own selfish good. But instead, the Word of God says to us, when we know peace with God, this beautiful, glorious peace, and we know a relationship of love with our God, we're going to live that peace out in our lives as well by being peacemakers with one another. The Holy Spirit, when He works peace in us, works this in us as well. So what's that way of living in peace with one another? There's so much to it. That could be a series of sermons itself. But part of that is living in humility. Part of that is living to the glory of God in the midst of conflict. Part of it is remembering that. We want God to be glorified in this moment of conflict. It's not about me winning. It's about God being glorified. In humility, then, we follow Jesus' words in Matthew 7. I'm going to get the log out of my own eye before I'm looking at the sliver in someone else's. And if I go to someone else, I'm even going to be going with that humility. I've had to look at my own life, and this is what I've done. And then we confess sin to one another without excuses, without blame shifting, acknowledging the wrong and the hurt that we have caused. That means as well with one another that we overlook minor things. If there are things that we don't have to bring up with one another, we don't bring them up. We overlook those minor offenses because love covers up a multitude of sins. It doesn't cover up all sins, but it covers up a multitude of sins. We live in that kind of love and peace with one another. And then we gently restore one another. We want a relationship of peace with one another. And we want to be reconciled to one another, forgiving each other as God has forgiven us for Jesus' sake. Now that's just very brief, and there's not much detail to that. I understand that. But understand this is the way in which we want to live in peace in our marriages, in our homes, and in the church as well. Those who know the peace of God in Jesus Christ are committed to living in that kind of peace, not stirring things up, whether it's face to face or through a text message or online, but wanting peace and seeking it in the right and good way. We conclude tonight by seeing and understanding the blessings that are found in such peace, and there are two of them that I call your attention to. First of all, I call your attention to Philippians 4, verse 7. It says there that the peace that passes all understanding shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So the word there is keep, but that word keep means guard or protect. And what is guarded and protected by this peace of God that passes all understanding, what is guarded and protected is our minds and our hearts. And we need that protection. We need that protection because of the evil one and all of his accusations, his lies. He says, you're not good enough. You can't have peace with God. You're such a great sinner and your faith is so weak. God, he doesn't love you. You couldn't possibly have peace with him. And so we need this peace of God to protect our minds and our hearts from those accusations of the evil one. We also need this peace to guard us and protect us because of the lies of our own hearts and because of this world in which we live, in which we may try to find peace in earthly pursuits. And we've seen already that peace is not found in those things. So we need the peace of God to protect our hearts and minds so that we find our peace in him and peace in our Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what it is that we're going through. What a beautiful protection it is to know the peace of God. It keeps us from thinking wrongly. It keeps us from desiring wrongly. Doesn't mean we don't struggle with it, we do. At the same time, God has given this peace to protect us. What beautiful protection. But the second thing we understand is that the fullness of this peace is ours. We don't have an experience yet the fullness of it. But we will one day. And that's part of the beauty and glory of heaven. That's part of the beauty and glory of the fullness of fellowship and love that we will experience in the new heavens and new earth. Perfect peace with God. No more sin, no more attacks, no more fears, no more anxieties, no more tears, no more sorrows. Perfect peace with God. And so we look forward to that as well. And that's part of the promise of God that works peace in us now and strengthens us to live in this peace. So maybe keep our eyes fixed on that. Yes, there's unrest in the world, in the church. There's conflict, there's fighting. But one day it'll all be gone. And we will enjoy that perfect peace. May we know that this blessing is ours through Jesus Christ, because the God of peace through Jesus Christ and by his Spirit gives us this peace. Now may God give us strength as we head back out into the world to live in this peace. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for peace that we have with thee through our Lord Jesus Christ. Grant us strength now to live in that peace, that this peace would calm our troubled hearts and souls, that also it would strengthen us so that we would live in peace with one another. And if we're not right now, strengthen us that we would live in peace as thou dost call us to do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We turn in our Psalters to number 65. Psalter number 65.